So in Bereshis 15, Bereshis Tezvav, a very, very fascinating parsha that we need to really understand what's happening over here, is Hashem is making the covenant amongst the pieces with Avram Avinu. And, you know, over here is the prophecy of everything that was going to happened to the Jewish people for all of history is all there in the parasha. Let me quote to you a very interesting, just a little piece of Maharal, which gives us an understanding of the significance of this, the significance of this parasha. So the Maharal says, "Klal hadavar." The general idea is, "Hamara hazeh." This mara, "Sheheru lo dvarim ha'asidim." Hashem showed Avram Avinu, all the future things. Ki Avram, hu shahaya roish ve'ikar Yisrael. Because Avram is going to be the head, and he's the core, he's the seed, or the core of Israel. If you do what is known, ki achar haschalas adavar yimshach hakol. That after the beginning of something, everything follows. Sha'inyan noisin kayach shemimshach achar hakol achar haschala. That after the beginning, you make a good haschala toiva that has an influence on the whole thing. And over here, who ascholas bechiras Avram, the beginning of Hashem choosing Avram, mamash at this story, but mashe karas imay bris. When Hashem made a covenant with him, means that this is, you know, we're going to see this through. This is. Till now, it was a relationship, a friendship. You didn't know what was going to happen, but now he was sealing the deal with him. V'hedoloi kol davar asher yimshach. So he showed him everything that was going to happen. And what's just so important to understand is that in this vision, we play such a major role because everything that ever happened in Jewish history was all for the finalization and the culmination of what we're going to experience now, the generation of Mashiach. So we're not just another, you know, another aspect. There's no just another in all of Jewish history. How much more so in our generation? He brings over here, Kasher Amru Atztignunim, like the Itztignunim say. Itztignunim are, is what they are, the... Those who they say kasha yula da adam. When a person is born, but oisishah at that time yachal lidois kol mikrav. I guess what they mean over here is that people who do whatever it's called, not the constellations. What is it called when you go to people say you're born in this mazel, in that mazel. It's the hour that you were born, like, tells us about what's going to happen in your life. So there's a certain truth to that, because it's the beginning of a person. Because everything goes after when you make your debut, when you enter in, the beginning of something. L'fikach, gam ken kasher HaKadosh Baruch Hu karas brisim Avram. Over here, when Hashem made a covenant with Avram, he sharishayna. This is the first hour that Hashem takes Avram to him. So he's showing him all the future things that are going to come to upon the Jewish people. So now let's take a look a minute in the Pasuk and see what does it say. And let's see if we can find and see Mashiach's, the inyanim that lead up to Mashiach and the inyanim aspects of the Geula related in this Pasuk. So what's going on over here is like this. Hashem says to him, last week we spoke about that Hashem told him, I'm going to take you up to see this. Hashem said, Scharcha harbe ma'oid, your reward is very great. And then he showed him, took him outside, and he showed him the stars. And last week we spoke how Scharcha harbe ma'oid, your reward is very great, is referring to the neshama of Mashiach that he showed him. When he showed him the stars, that's also referring to Mashiach Tzidkenu. Mashiach is the star, Darach Koichav Meyakov. We also spoke about last week how he showed him the Roimim Mois Nishmas Yisrael, the exaltedness of the souls of Israel, of his descendants. Okay, and then it says that Avram believed in Hashem, Vayachshaveu Lo Tzedakah, and now we're holding by Shishi, Pasuk Zayin. So the next couple of psukim, let's read the psukim quickly, see what the outline is, and then see, I mean, there's various and different interpretations in the Midrashim and in the Mefarshei HaTorah about what's going on over here. And obviously, the reason there will be so many interpretations is because there's so much loaded up in this short little vision that Avram had that contains the future history of all of what was going to transpire to the Jewish people. So let's see the pasuk. In pasuk Zion it says, "Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem." He said to him, "I am God. Asher Etzisicha. I have taken you out Ur Kazdim from the land of Kazdim." Okay, Hashem says, "I'm the one who took you out of Nimrod." Ur Kazdim was the story of Nimrod. Lasis Lachas Aretz Azois Lerishta. I brought you to give you this land, the land of Eretz Yisrael, to inherit. So now Avram says to Hashem, "Vayomer," and he says, "Hashem Elokim, Hashem my God, Boma Eda. How will I know ki ira shehna, that I will inherit it?" And everybody, of course, is puzzled that the same Avram Avinu, who two psukim before that, it says, he had amuna ba Hashem, vehemin ba Hashem. He believed in Hashem. And the Medrash in Shemois tells us, tashiru meirosh amuna, that when Mashiach comes, we're going to sing Shira. We sang Shira by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're going to sing, the ultimate Shira is going to be sung after the coming of Mashiach. And it says that the zchus, the merit that we're going to sing Shira, which means that we're going to merit to that awesome time that we're going to have so much to sing about. Now, there's so much that we krechts about. When Mashiach comes, there is so much to sing about. Meirosh emuna, that's all rooted, and it's all b'schus Avram Avinu, who believed in Hashem. So Avram is the reish l'chal ha-maminim. He's the head of all maminim. We, the Jewish people, are called maminim, b'nei maminim. Believers, the children of believers. And we all know that emuna is b'yerusha that we have from Avram Avinu. So suddenly over here, Avram is asking questions. Two psukim later. That's in pasuk vav. This is a pasuk ches. Vayomer Hashem Elokim, b'me eda, how do I know, ki yirishena, that I will yarshin? So suddenly he's asking kashas. So what's pshat in this Avram's question? Okay, we're going to leave that for soon. What is Avram asking? He says, how do I know? When Hashem just gave him a promise. So then the pasuk says in pasuk tes, vayomer Elokim, k'chol li egla mishuleshes, take from me an egla. An egla is a calf, mishuleshes, that's 3 years old. The eiz mishuleshes, and a eiz, which is a goat, mishuleshes, that's also 3 years old. And the ayil, and it's interesting, Rashi learns that mishuleshes is referring to this three agalos. And they see the Evan Ezra also, mishuleshes gimel izim. He learns this three of them. The Ramban says, he brings Bas Shaleshan, and that she's 3 years old. The Unkelis says three. Okay, so what exactly he took over here? So it can be either that he took three calves, three goats, and Va'ayil Meshulash, and three rams, or it was just one calf, one goat, and one ayil, and one ram. In addition to that, V'toyer, and a pigeon. V'toyer V'goizal, and a pigeon and a goizel. A goizel means a young bird. Mefarshim say that it means a dove. He took a yoina. So he took a pigeon and a yoina. Okay, what does he do? Vayikach lo yezkol eila. He takes all of these. Vayivater oisam batavach. Hashem told him to do that, so that's what he did. Vayivater oisam batavach means, and he went and he cut them in half. He cut all these animals in half, but only the animals, as we'll see in a minute. And he arranged them one towards the other. So they're laying side by side, one towards the other. Vesatzipar loy basar, but the bird, he doesn't split. It says Belashin Yachid, the bird he doesn't split, but it's referring to both birds. The toyer and the goizal, he didn't split. Now, after we have these carcasses laying out, so suddenly a vulture comes down over the carcasses. Alapkarim, the vulture comes down on the carcasses. Vayashe v'isam Avram, and Avram is chasing the vultures away. He doesn't allow the vultures to eat the meat. Okay? Now, if you're standing over there and the vultures are coming, okay, I understand that person would maybe want to. Obviously, this is part of the Torah is telling you this. So there is a significance and a very powerful symbolism in what was going on over here, that the vulture comes down and Avram chases the vultures away. Okay. Then it says, Vayhi Hashem Esh Lavoi. The sun, again, so let's follow along. Again, Hashem promises Avram, I'm going to give you the land. I took you out of Ir Kazdim to give you the land. Avram asked the question, how do I know that I will inherit it? And Hashem tells him to take animals, cut them in half. Then there's a story with a birds he doesn't cut. Then there is a vulture that's coming, and he chases away the vulture. Obviously, we need so much commentary. Well, what is happening? What's the answer? What's going on over here? Then the pasuk continues. Let's wait. I just want to read the whole story here. Then it says, "Vehi Ashrei Meshlavoi," and then the sun began to set. So we're still talking in the afternoon. It's not night yet. It's still day, but the sun is beginning to make its way down to the western side for it to set. And at that time, V'tadema Nafla L'Avram. So it's in this afternoon period that this deep, deep slumber falls upon Avram. He falls asleep. And in his sleep, V'ne'ema Chashecha, a dreadful fear, and a darkness, G'doyla, a dreadful, dark fear, an Oifelas Olav, encompass falls upon him. Right? And he's terrified. It's dark, but the pasuk just said the sun wasn't even setting, so it's during the day. But we can understand because Avram is asleep, so now he's dreaming. He has a vision. Obviously, this wasn't a regular dream; this was a prophecy. So he has a prophecy in the midst of his conversation with Hashem. So this is a prophecy within a prophecy. In his sleep, it gets suddenly very, very dark. Vayomer le'Avram, and then you have a narration going on during this. During this darkness and fear, Hashem is narrating to Avram what? He's telling him about a galus. This is the ambiance for the communication of the Eibishter communicating to Avram a prophecy about galus, and he's speaking to him about galus Mitzrayim. But the ambiance that's here is that he's sleeping and he's in a dread. Suddenly, he feels very, very frightened. I guess he must have felt very cold very alone, a very terrifying experience. But the Eibishter speaks to him and he tells him, you should know, your children are going to be gerim in a land that's not theirs. They're going to enslave them, they're going to pain them arba meyashana for 400 years. And also the nation. So the first pasuk talks about first element over here is that they're going to be enslaved, tortured for 400 years. Then Hashem says, what's going to happen to the nation that is going to hurt them? The Gamas Agoya Sheyavoidu, the nation that is going to enslave them, Don Anoichi, I will judge them. But in the end, the Jewish people will triumphantly leave the Galus, and they will come out with a great wealth. And then he tells him something about his own passing. You're going to pass away in peace. You're going to be buried at a ripe old age. And then he says, but how long is it going to take for your family to come back here after they're in this galus? The fourth generation is going to return. And he's explaining why it's going to take till the fourth generation. Because the sin of the Amorites, who are living now in the land basically is not ready for you to take possession of it until the Amorites, who are living there now, till I need to kick them out. That means until their sinful behavior goes overboard. In other words, when it reaches the top, and then and they deserve to be banished from the land, so then I will bring your children back. Okay, so until that time, you're not going to be in Mitzrayim. Okay, it doesn't say which land, but in a land that's not theirs. Okay, then what happens? And this is very important for the explanation that we're going to see soon. Then it says, "Vahi Hashem Eshba." Remember we said earlier, the sun was beginning to set. So now, the second became later. Time passed, and it became night. So the sun set. Va'alotahoya, and Rashi says it means that it was an extreme darkness. So now not only was it dark in his dream, now it literally became very dark because it was nighttime. V'hinei tanir asham. So now an oven, a smoking oven, v'lapid esh, and a flame of fire, asha avar bein akzara me'ela, that goes between the pieces. This was the conclusion of the vision. He sees this great big fire suddenly rolling over all the parts that were over there, and I guess scorching it and burning it. On that day, Hashem made a covenant with Avram to tell him, your children, I'm going to give this land. And he goes on to describe to him the borders of Eretz Yisrael from the river of Egypt, which is the Nile, Adanar, Agadol, to the Euphrates River, Nahar Paras. And he lists to him 10 nations: Esakeni, Knizi, Kadmoini, Esachiti, Prizi, Verafoyim, Samoiri, Vesaknani, Vesagigoshi, Vesayavusi. This is the only time we have that Hashem lists not only 7 nations, but 10 nations. Okay, this is the teichen of what happened over here in the Brisbane Apsara. Now, let's take a little bit of get an understanding of what's happening. So the first explanation I'd like to share with you today is from the Alshech HaKadosh. So the Alshech explains in this whole story is what's going on is like this. The first thing is that Hashem told Avram Avinu, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, Asher Etzisicha Me'ur Kastim. I have taken you out from Ur Kastim to give you this land. What he meant to say that I'm going to give you this land was he's telling Avram Avinu that I'm giving it to you yourself. Because even though Avram knew that he's not inheriting the land right now, and it was going to happen at the Jews are going to come in only, as we see later, 400 years later. So it wasn't like he was going to get possession of the land. But Hashem was telling him, no, I'm going to give it to you, Mamish. Why? Because this is Hashem is telling him that in Tchias HaMesim, that I'm going to bring you back to life. Hashem was now conveying to Avram Avinu the resurrection, that Avram himself is going to come back to life, and he himself is going to take possession of the land. It's for that reason that Hashem made an introduction, and he said that I have taken you out of Ur Kasdim. What is the idea? Because in order to make it more palpable and understanding, more convincing rather, and acceptable in Avram's mind, that he's going to come back from the dead, in other words, that a Jew survives even death. It's an idea that just occurred to me right now. What does Tchias HaMesim mean? Tchias HaMesim means that a Jew can endure anything. He can endure Chas V'Sholem illness. A Jew can endure. I mean, any Chas V'Sholem terrible situation, imprisonment, enslavement, what have the Jewish people not gone through? And even the thing that brings an end to the most powerful of the most powerful, no matter who it is, everybody in the end, ends up facing the earth. And then the earth overpowers every creature and every being, even the biggest knockers in the world. Yet the neshama, the Jewish body and soul, triumph even over the earth. And it's a durch gen, like you say, it's a durch gen dem, this as well. And even this you're going to overpower. So in order to illustrate and demonstrate to Avram how he has a koyach, and nothing has power over him, that he will vanquish everybody and overpower everybody, even earth itself. So Hashem says, I took you out of Ur Kasdim, which means I saved you from the fires of Nimrod. Now, fire from the four elements that there are, earth and fire, in the power to destroy something, earth destroys things. You put something in the earth, it destroys it, but it doesn't destroy it as strong as fire does. Fire demolishes something completely. And instantly, earth also overpowers something, but it takes a longer time. Fire instantly burns something and destroys it. And the Eberster says, just like you are made up of stronger stuff, I made you out of something so strong that the fires of Ur Kasdim could not consume your body. You were not able, you did not become Afer, like Avram says, Vanoichi Afar V'Afer. So the Eberster says, just like I protected you from becoming Afer, from becoming ashes, so too, I want you to believe you. I will give you this land. You're going to survive being buried in the earth for 3,000 years, and yet you're going to come out to inherit the land. So Avram Avinu hears this amazing thing. And the Eibishter promises him over here at Tchias HaMesim. And he says, Hashem Elohim, Bomo Eidaki Yiroshenu. How do I know Ki Yiroshenu? What was the question? What was he asking? So the Alshech sees the question to mean as follows. Avram says, now from me until Tchias HaMesim, I understand. I believe you, and I have no problem with Tchias HaMesim. I believe you that you say that I can overpower death itself and come out from beneath the ground and there's not, that I understand. The problem is like this, between now and then is going to go through, I mean, if Avram knew when the Kates is, Chveisnisht, but a very long time. Now we know already it's over 3,500 years, which you're going to give the land to my children. But my children, as I've known from the past, my children won't survive in the land. And in the end, they're going to go into Gullus. So what Avram's question was, how do I know that my children, there is still going to be Jewish people in 3,500 years? Basically, Avram was questioning the biggest miracle that ever has happened, and that is the survival of the Jewish people amongst the nations. We've been scattered amongst the nations. And Avram was asking, how do I know that they won't be assimilated completely? That there will be somebody to give Eretz Yisrael to. B'mo'eda, how do I know ki yireshena? Because the words of the Yalshach is, gam li v'gam lahem. In other words, I can only take it if they're there. Like we say always by Yaakov Avinu. That Yaakov Avinu lo imeis, Yaakov didn't die, because ma zarei b'chayim, because his children are alive. Afu b'chayim, he's also alive. But you need to have zarei b'chayim. And Avram Avinu was wondering that if there's such a long and bitter exile, and Jews are going to be living together, enmeshed amongst so many nations and so many different peoples, how do we know that they won't be swallowed up by the big bad world, through the 70 Ze'evim, the 70 wolves that will destroy them physically completely through their persecution, and Chas V'Shalom, spiritually, they will consume them and destroy them, and there won't be, Chas V'Shalom, anybody left. No one left to inherit the land. That's his question. How do I know ki yir Hashem? So here is where the Eibishter is going to show Avram Avinu v'hisha amda laviseinu v'lanu shaloi achad b'vav. But we say Pesach by night. When we thank the Eibishter that shaloi achad b'vav amad aleinu l'chaloiseinu v'akadosh baruch hu matzileinu miyadam. So Hashem begins to show Avram Avinu k'chali egla mishuleshes v'eis mishuleshes v'ayil mishulesh. Hashem brings out all the gullias, all the future exiles. He says, let's take a look what's going to happen. And as the Medrash tells us, that these three animals are referring to three major empires. Egla Mishuleshes is referring to the kingdom of Bavel. Why is it called Mishuleshes? Because they had three kings. Nebuchadnezzar was one of their kings, and all their kings, Shloisha Malachim, Nebuchadnezzar, Avil Meroidach, he was the second king. And the third king was Belshazzar. These are the three kings of Bavel. The next one is the Ez Meshulash. So the Ez is referring to Madai, Paras and Madai, the Persian Empire. They also had three kings, Koresh, Duryash, and Achashverosh. These are the three kings. Ayil Meshulash, this is referring to the Greek Empire, Aram. Why are they Meshulash? There you don't see three kings. They're called Meshulash because they conquered three parts of the world, the three directions. Their kingdom expanded complete to the entire civilized world to the south, the entire civilization to the north, and the entire civilization to the west. They desired to conquer the east, the far east, but they were not able to conquer the Far East. And the reason for that is, the Maral says, because the east side is very chashev. That's why 770 is on Eastern Parkway. The east represents kadmoyne shel olam. You see, it's the very beginning. The sun rises on the east. So the east, so for the klipa, for Yavan, to be able to master and take possession of the east, they weren't able. So it's only Shalesh Ruchais, the three directions, the three parts of the world that they possessed. So that's why that is Ayil Meshulash. How about the fourth empire, which is Galus Edom? So it is Mashma that, those are the birds. Now over here we'll see that there's an interesting thing, because the birds he's going to cut all the animals, the bird he's not going to cut. So the Medrash is saying, and Rashi says that the bird is referring to the Jewish people, that they're not destroyed. But if we say that the bird is referring to the Jewish people, then what do we do with the fourth empire, Malchus of Edom, that is not mentioned? So the Medrash says that the birds are referring to Edom, and they're called Toyer and they're called Goizel. So this is not part of what the Alshach says, I'm just adding it in. The Maral explains that the Medrash says about Torah v'Goizel, if you give me just one second, where is it over here? The Medrash says about Torah and Goizel. The Medrash says, Torah v'Goizel, Zu Malchus Edom. Why is it called Torah and Goizel? It's a Torah, Elisha Gazlin Hu. And the reason he's called a Geizel is because he's a goslin. So the way the Maral explains this, I mean, he knows really he's a pigeon, but he's called a Geizel because he's a goslin. A goslin means he's a thief. So what does this mean? So the Maral says, he says that the fourth empire seems to be the most powerful one. It's a gullus that's lasting so long. It's the descendants of Esav. Esav presents himself as an all-powerful being, but the Maral says he's really just a little bird. That means he doesn't really have any power. It's not like the previous empires. See, we think that Edom is far more powerful. It's like the big one. The others were like smaller things. No. He says over there that Greece is much stronger than Edom, and the Persian Empire as well, and the Babylonians. It means they had true, real, powerful, spiritual power. And obviously it translated into physical power. They were very, very strong. And they had, and he says, the reason why Avram doesn't cut up the bird is because it's such a small thing, you can't even split it. If so, you wonder, how can you say about Gullus Edom, which is an empire that began with Rome, and then it extends through the various different nations, right? The whole entire Christian world. How do you say about that that it's a little thing when they're such a massive empire? They're so big. So he explains, that's what the Medrash says, that Toyer v'Goizel, that really he doesn't have anything of its own. It's all Gezela. It's all stealing. The other Malchus, Malchios, the other nations that came before Edom, have real power. It's their own power, but not Golas Edom. The Edom, the Malchus Revius, the fourth kingdom, doesn't have its own power. So it's like it's a Toyer, and a Gazlanu, it's a Gazlan. And the Maral brings over here a thing, the Maral says, that we find. Just give me a second. He says, just like a god, I'm sorry, he brings, just like a thief. A thief has a lot of money, but it's not his money. You know, and the this guy was a big knocker. Madoff. He was a big knocker. The guy had billions of dollars, but nothing was his. So the same is with, it's all bankrupt. It's not really there, like a fluffed up stock market. There's nothing that was dear to him. So it's a metzias sheker. These are the words of the Maral. It's a deception. V'lekeach davar she'ein eroyi. He takes something that is not fitting for him. He says, v'chol advarim eile yeduim b'inyan edoim. Shehu katayin u'bazu lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is small and tiny and buzzy. He's a shameful entity in front of Hashem. U'ba'olam hazeh, in this world, he seems to be a big knocker. Hu gadol. And he brings on the Medrash, it says in Parshas Toldos, Vayikra es Esav b'noi ha-gadol, that Yitzchak calls Esav his big brother. And his big son. Rivka also called Esav b'no ha-gadol, as it says, she took as big day Esav. She went to take the garments of Esav b'no ha-gadol, her big son. Like Yaakov is the small one, and Esav he's the big one. Amalem Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the Eibishter says to Yitzchak and Rivka, in your eyes he's gadol. You're making a ganze tzimis out of him, but in my eyes he's small. As the Pasuk says, he nekata nesaticha bagoyim, a small I've given you amongst nations. A Pasuk, I think, in Oivadia, where he talks about the ultimate prophecy about the destruction of Edom. So it says, kata nesaticha bagoyim bazui. He's shameful. It's nothing. Anyways, that's why he's small. So Edom is looks to be big, looks to be major, and you see it's interesting. Yitzchak and Esav looked at Esav. Yitzchak and Rivka both looked at Esav as a gadol, as some big power, and we see we're suffering from that. Still, the Jewish people today, as we feel, we always have to appease. We have to appease Washington. The Rebbe was so upset about that. You know, vasgeit on, do what you need to do, but you feel so small by yourself. Arab gefallen, as the Rebbe cried, Arab gefallen before the guy. The Yid feels he has to dance in front of the Paritz. This is because we make Esav into an entire tzimis. The Eibishter says he's a nobody to me. You're the all-powerful one. He's a nobody. This is the idea that Esav is referred to as Toir v'Goizel, going back. So now the Eibishter tells Avram Avinu, take all these animals. And he goes and he splits them in half. And the splitting of the half of the animals is the indication that these mighty empires that you're so afraid of, and you're wondering if your children are going to survive the Golus, take a look, in the end, they're all going to be split and broken and splintered, and there's not going to be any more power to them. The bird, he doesn't split. So again, if it's referring to Edom, so the only explanation to that is, as I've seen in one of the Mefarshim, it means that he did not see, either as we said, the Maral says, because he doesn't have to be split, because he's lechatchila from the very beginning, he's a metzias, he's a weak metzias, he's a gazlin, but he doesn't really have anything of his own. But in addition to that, by the way, the thought is occurring to me, Edom translated later into, it became literally the Christian world. And the entire Christian power and everything that it possesses, its entire doctrine of whatever good it possesses, is taken from Torah. So it's not like it's its own religion or its own Indian. It's just it's only a fabrication. It's only a twist. It's only distortion of Torah. There's no metzias. It's a gazlan. It doesn't have anything on its own. That's one Indian. Or the reason why Avram didn't cut it is because Avram could not see the end of this galus. It's a long galus. Avram couldn't see the end, so he himself couldn't cut it. That's another explanation that is given. But the Al-Sheikh says the idea, as Rashi also brings, the reason why it does not break, it doesn't cut the bird, because as we said earlier, the bird is also referring to the Jewish people. So by not cutting the bird, what he is indicating and what he is showing him is that Yidden, the Jewish people, will survive the exile. Everything else is destroyed. But the Jewish people will survive. But now, vertich the question. So the Eibishter just showed Avram Avinu the survival of the people, that we will survive this massive galus. This was his answer. B'me'eda. How do you know? The Eibishter says, let me show it to you. You'll see these mighty beasts cut to pieces, and you will see the only thing that's not destroyed, that even though the nations are trampling this little bird, yet the bird survives and they're not there anymore. But now the question becomes to Avram Avinu, good, they're going to survive, but why do I need this? Why do we have to put them through such a dangerous and horrible and bring them to the brink of chas v'shalom, of annihilation, and then miraculously have them survive the exile? I don't need it. We don't need it to begin with. What's the benefit of having the gullahs to begin with? So here is where the Eibishter shows Avram Avinu the great choice, and he's showing him that you yourself are going to choose the Shibud Malchias, what's called. We know that it says in the Medrash, it says that the Eibishter showed Avram Avinu Gehenim and Shibud Malchias, and the enslavement to the nations, the servitude to the nations, basically the Gullus. And he told Avram, choose which one you want. And Avram chose that his children should go through the exile better than Gehenim. That choice we're going to see is being shown now to Avram. What happened was like this. The next thing that happens is, as the vulture comes down and swoops down to try to eat the carcasses, the vulture, Rashi says, is referring to David HaMelech. That David HaMelech, when he became king, being that he is the anointed one of Hashem, so he has the power of the ultimate kingship and ultimate sovereignty, he had the koyach to conquer the entire world and to eliminate evil. And that's the meaning, Rashi says, when the vulture came down on the Pegarim, was the Pegarim, we said before, are the four Malchiyos, the four kingdoms. David HaMelech could have made Ashen Parach, meaning David HaMelech could have finished them off completely and have brought the Geula Shalema and brought Mashiach, and there would not have been any of the Tzaris, none of the nations. What happens, however, Vayashev Oysam Avram, that Avram chased the vulture away. Why did Avram chase the vulture away? Because Avram understood the benefit that there is going to be from the Golus. How did Avram understand the benefit that was going to be from the Golus? This is what he's showing him in his next vision. That you yourself are pushing the vulture away. Why? Because of what I'm going to show you now. What happens next in the pasuk? The sun is still in the sky, but it's beginning to set.
Okay.
And Avram has this vision where he gets terrified. He's shaking out of fear. He sees... remember we said, Eimach Hashecha Gedoyle Nefeles, all of a great fear comes upon him. And Hashem tells him about the Golas of Mitzrayim. And then after that it says, the sun set and it became extremely dark, and a fire passed between the Gezarim, between the carcasses. A big fire, a flame, goes through the carcasses. So what? So obviously, the Al-Sheikh is saying, he says, what's happening over here is Hashem is showing him two periods of time. One of them is after the sun sets, and the other one is before the sun sets. What does it mean, the sun setting? The time after the sun sets means the end of days. It's like the day is over, which really means Yemoisa Mashiach. Why would we call a dark night? That's not, that should be called in many, of course, day. That's when the sun rises. That's when it becomes dawn. Benigeya to what we're talking about over here, it's night. Why is it night and darkness? And there's a big oven and a fiery oven. That's referring to the ultimate judgment that Hashem is going to judge the nations, which is the ultimate Gehenna. Which is Gehenna, which is hell in all of its glory and all of its power. And the Eibishter was showing Avram Avinu as follows. After the sun sets, there is going to be this hellish nightmare for those who have, whoever, for those who deserved it. That's a choice. If there chas v'shalom is in Yanim that cause, for whatever reason, you know, any kinds of blemishes, any kinds of cleansing, anything that a person needs to be cleansed from, there are choices. While the sun is still in the sky, that's the first thing. Vayi Hashemesh lavai, but the sun did not set. Avram falls asleep, and is a very, very terrifying fear. That's the galus. And what the Eibishter was showing Avram Avinu was that that's a tziruf, that's a purification process. That despite the fact that there are sins, and sins need to be cleansed, the fact that the Jewish people have gone through all the galus, today's days, there is no sin anymore upon Israel, upon the Jewish people. Yidden are clean betachlis. After the Holocaust, and after everything that we've gone through, Nishmas Yisrael are purified to the utmost of utmost, as clean as... That would not have been able to happen had we not had the galus, because we were lacking that tziruf. So then, chas v'shalom, there would have been only one or another option. That cleansing would have to have the deep cleansing that comes after, in Yom Adinva, when the whole thing is over. So then it's going to be Tanur Esh. It's going to be a big oven, Velapid Esh. So the Eibishter shows Avram Avinu this thing. And that is the reason why Avram chased away David HaMelech. David HaMelech could have already in his days brought about the Tikkun HaSholim and the ultimate redemption and brought the Jewish people back. You know, it would have been over. But we would have had to face a day of judgment. There would have been impurity still in Nishmas Yisrael, and Chas V'Shalom, and many at least, would have had to fall into Gehenna, into the Tanur Esh. So Avram Avinu chose, instead of that, Avram Avinu chose the Shibud Malchus, which is shown to him as Eimo. That's why it follows. After he chased away the bird, there is an Eimo Hashecha Gedoyle Nefeles Olav, which is the long and harsh and difficult exile, which at the conclusion after that, and the Eibishter tells him that, but you, Achriken Yetzu Berchush Gadol, not only is the Golas not going to destroy you, it's only going to refine you. And at the end, you're going to come out with even a greater wealth. And what happens after that? The sun will set. And those tormentors and those Pigadim Mesim, those leftover carcasses, they are going to be burnt by the Tanur Esh that is going to come upon the Pigadim at the end. This is the vision that Hashem showed Avram Avinu, which contained the vision of, and Avram made that choice. So it really is the explanation of all of Golas. I mean, even though, you know, in some way we understand this, Leitzach Nishtaf in hearts, you see it was very difficult for Avram Avinu, how harsh it was, and scary it was. But this is what it is. Interesting, according to the Tiferes Yonason, Rabbi Yonason ben Uziel, not Rabbi Yonason, Rabbi Yonason Eibshitz, sorry, the Tiferes Yonason says that when it says that Vayeda the Ayat, that the Ayat came down, so Rashi says it's referring to David HaMelech, it's referring to David HaMelech, and it's also referring to Chizkiyahu. That David and Chizkiyahu, Bechlal it says that Neshamas, a very great tzaddikim, are seen, are called birds. Are birds, but the neshamas that are called animal, and the neshamas that are birds, and neshamas are very high to them. The neshama of Mashiach is called kan tzipor. It's a nest of a bird. Ki yakari kan tzipor that we learned last week. Mashiach is a bird. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech and David HaMelech, they were also the bird souls, and they came down on the pegarim, which means to destroy the nations. Vayashiv v'isam Avram. Avram had chased them away. He says it's a shtickle of an, it's somewhat of a negative thing. It's because it says that the reason why the galus is longer is because Avram Avinu davened for Yishmael. The Zohar says that because Avram Avinu said Lu Yishmael Yichya Lefanecha, if only Yishmael should live before you, by that request of Avram davening for Yishmael, Avram brought Arichus Yamim for Yishmael, that Yishmael should have longevity. And for that reason, Chizkiyahu and David HaMelech weren't successful. So the Pasuk is really saying to Avram Avinu, Vayashev Vaisam Avram, the ayat was coming, it's your fault that you chased it away. I mean, ultimately, there is a kavana and there is a betterment when you didn't go through Golos Edom and Golos Yishmael, the Mefarshim, also point that it says, Toir V'goizal, a pigeon and a young bird. So the Torah is Edom, as we said earlier, and the Goizel is Yishmael. So the Torah and the Goizel together is the Golos of Edom and Yishmael. That is what's referring to. Now, but we mentioned earlier that Goizel is also referring to the Jewish people. They were also called Goizel. What type of bird? Rashi says, Bnei Yoina. The Yidden are called Yoina. And that's talking about the merit of Yidden, because the quality of the yoina, of the dove, is that it says that a dove, when it chooses its mate, it remains loyal. And it remains so loyal that even after the mate passes away, the mate died, it remains loyal to the mate. It will never go with any other bird because of its loyalty. And in Shir HaShirim, the Yidden are compared to a dove, as it says, Einecha yoinim, your eyes are like the eyes of a dove. As it says, doves stare at each other in love. They have a real romantic love, as they look at each other with deep love. So too, Knesset Yisrael, the Eibishter says that even though you'll be going through, as we spoke over here, all this bitter exile, but as we say in Tehillim, Im nifreis kapenu lekel zar, have we pledged allegiance to anybody else? Yidden have remained loyal to the Eibishter through thick and thin, through all that we've gone through fire and water. And that's the reason why Vesagoizel, Vesatzipar, Loi Basar, the Tzipar survives it all. And that's all part of the vision that the Eibishter showed Avram Avinu at this time. Be'ezus Hashem, next week, I want to introduce a little chassidus to this inyan, to this vision, from the Tzemach Tzedek, from the Ohr HaTorah. Don't really have time to say that right now. One more thing I do want to mention over here is there's a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is very interesting. In Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, it says when Hashem told Avram Avinu to take the animals, he tells him to take triple animals. Either it means three of each or the animal in its third year. So he brings Rabbi Sharshia Oimer. Rabbi Sharshia says that Mushaleshes Mushaleshes Yiyu, because these nations that are gonna rule the land of Israel, that are going to dominate over Yidden, he says they're going to rule over Eretz Yisrael three times. Pam Rishayna, one time, Kol Echad Ve'Echad Bifnei Atzmai, each one on their own. Pam Shenis, a second time, Bishnayim Shnayim, two, two. Pam Shlishis, the third time, Kulam Ke'echas, Li'ilachem Im Ben David. So watch this. I thought about this when I read this. I said, hey, take a look. At the beginning, early days, Bavel had its own reign over Eretz Yisrael. Greece had its own reign over Eretz Yisrael. Every nation had its own time period when it ruled over Israel. Then came a period when they ruled together. Shnayim, shnayim, two. So I thought this is talking about right before when the Turks, together with the British, they were at war with each other. But Saif kol Saif, there was a certain hold and rule over Eretz Yisrael as two. Arabs and Christians, both of them together in simultaneously. And finally, at the end of days, they're all going to make all gather together with the war on Ben David, on Mashiach Tzidkenu. Whoever has their ears and eyes open sees that happening right now, beginning with this nuclear treaty in Iran, which is a mulchama against the Jewish people and against the Eibishter. And as it says over there, V'yatza Hashem v'nilcham bagoyim, the Eibishter himself is going to nilcham bagoyim. We're going to merit and see great, great things, Be'ezus Hashem, very, very, very soon. Miracles that we've never beheld, that are going to make the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim look like child's play. The miracles that are going to happen, mamish, 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 because of now Matzah Shemitah, as we see, we're coming into that time. If you just take a look around the world and see what's going on, it's unbelievable. The Eibishter should only help, that we shouldn't have to chas v'shalom go through any harm, and any, it should be b'chesed u'berachmim, but in a spectacular, amazing, beautiful way. Everyone should have a good week.